All right, I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Today is Tuesday, February 9th, 2021. Time right now is 5:20. All board members are present. Item 1A, call to order for pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Almos, I'm sure you did, but did you turn that on?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You got to give us a lesson.
We
thought we did it.
We were gone, we forgot. We thought we had it on, but it wasn't.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm a little winded.
What?
I just came from the gym. I was rushing over here.
How dare you go to the gym?
Trying to make us look bad.
I did a long class today. I had the line, and I'm way older than you.
Item 1B, adoption of the agenda.
I recommend to adopt the agenda for the meeting of February 9th.
I'll second it.
Aye.
Aye. Item 2, call to the public.
Aye.
All right. Item 3, consent agenda. Started with A, approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting January
19th, 2021. I have nothing. I haven't done
much.
I'm okay with everything.
I'm okay with it.
I'm fine.
All right, then the B, presentation of the January financial reports, and C, approval of the January vouchers.
I have no changes, but I'm okay with that.
Good?
I'm fine.
Okay. And then D, approved child nutrition programs, code of conduct, and procurement procedures.
No.
Oh, I put a new one on. I forgot to. I put a new one on.
Well, just let me look at yours.
There should be another one on your plate.
Approved child nutrition. Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'll just write it on.
And that should be in your packet, both of those. There should be a code of conduct, and then there should be a procurement procedures.
Well, maybe it's locked in here.
Yep. And there are just basic things that we have to approve, and it's basically the three-step process for discipline in the code of conduct, and then the procurement procedures are about, I want to say, 6 to 7 pages long.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
11
pages long, okay.
Nothing on D?
No.
All right.
No.
I would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second the motion.
Aye.
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 So almost.
Moving on to action items. Item 4A, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approval of school. Approves the authorized signatures for the school credit cards.
This is something we do every year. It's nothing.
This is, yeah, this is, we, all of this stuff, honestly, is something that's pretty blah mundane, but I didn't want you guys to come all the way here without an action item, so I made them action items last time they were in the consent agenda.
And this is nothing sneaky, it's just something we have to do every year.
And what we're going to do is we're going to move these to the summer, either July or August, because it doesn't make sense that we approve the credit cards and everything halfway through the year. Kind of goofy. This should be approved with the fiscal year, so you have that approval for the whole year. So we will move these, both A and B, we will move them to the summer next time, and then we'll do it fiscally instead of in January or February.
That makes sense. Yeah, I have any questions.
You want to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve item A regarding the school signatory.
Second the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And the same basically for the second one there, item B is just the gas card. It's the same one. It's the exact same motion, I should say, that we passed last year. These are the gas cards that are at the Speedway up in San Jose. And they all have to have their own because they can't use it. The one instead of having a school card and everybody uses it, they have to have their own, and then it's tracked on them, and then they have to keep the receipt and bring it back to us. I guess we haven't had any problems with it.
You can restart for everything, so there's no...
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And make a motion.
And again, this is a yearly thing we do every year.
And we're going to move that again to the July or August meeting.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the signatures on the gas card for the... Do I have to say the name?
No.
Okay.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Moving on to C, presentation, discussion, possible vote on approve the resignation of Teresa Torres, teacher effective at the end of the school year.
This is her request, right?
This was her request, and it also lines up with, you know, we had that time frame to, if you want to retire, to try to get it in by then so we know. So that was kind of the thing. Both of these retirements or resignations came to me, and I just told them that let's try to get it in January so that I can get to the February board meeting. And I did tell the rest of the staff, but the way I read the retirement policy that we approved, that doesn't really have to be done. If they're going to get it to me by February, they still can get their funding. So we want them to all get their full funding.
So she's retiring, right?
She is retiring.
Okay.
Both of them are retiring.
Right.
Both of what?
Both of them.
The
C and D are retiring.
Oh, okay.
Can we add in there that the board appreciates her
service,
her dedicated service to the Knoxville Elementary School District, and we wish her well in her future endeavors?
That can be up to Tim to pass that on to the board, her well wishes and so forth. For both of them.
I will do that, and I will put that in. I'll put it actually in the minutes so that it says the board approves the retirement and wishes to thank her for her years at NACO and wishes her well in the future.
With that, I would like to make a motion to approve action item C.
Second the motion.
Aye.
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 Good luck, Ms. Torres. Good job.
And moving on to action item D, the same thing, but this is going to be for Frances Mendez.
Same thing.
Yes.
She's been making a request, and so we're wishing her well for her time. But she's been here a lot longer. Do you have a number?
She's been here 27 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, look at her.
I don't remember the exact breakdown, Donna. Do you know off the top? No. For some reason, I was thinking it was like 21 or 25, but I know it's 20.
It's
something.
It's early 20s.
Well, let her know we appreciate her time served.
You want to make a motion?
Want to make a motion to approve of item D?
I'll second that.
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, darn, we're ready to super attention.
I just got to catch up to you guys. That's you guys forget I type slow. Okay, so I got to go back to C, and I don't remember, was it who made the motion and who seconded it?
Well,
which one?
The motion, Lisa made the second.
I was still writing Thaker for years when you guys did all that. So
and then
almost, and then Brisa.
Right. Okay. And D was the opposite. It was Brisa and then almost.
Okay.
Got it. All right.
Sorry, you're mixing that up there.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's nice to have something different than always the same. All right, superintendent report. I just have a few things. The one thing I wanted to share with you was the concerns that I have, and these were only the concerns for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, you know, as we move forward. And one of the things we've talked about with the parents through all of our meetings is, you know, if they choose to keep their children home, we understand they're keeping them home and they want to keep them safe, but then it's on them to help us make sure that they're doing their work and they're handing it in. And if they're not, you know, doing that, they're going to be retained if they're in the middle school level, if they're flunking more than one class. In the elementary, we're looking at it a couple different ways, but, you know, depending upon the grade level, how important the grades are, first grade, kindergarten. You know, it just really depends. Are they ready to move on to be successful? That's really what our big basis is going to be. So we have some issues. We're probably running 25% to 30% of our kids right now are not doing well, and they need to pick it up this last quarter and a half. And so I'm glad we're able to go back to school on Monday, or Tuesday, I should say. I'm also glad that it's a week and a half before parent-teacher conferences, because we are going to have parent-teacher conferences and we need to have parent-teacher conferences. And my plan is to expand them instead of having a second day of school and only getting going till noon. My plan is we're going to do that 12 to 6:30 or so conferences, and then we're going to go the next morning also. We need more time for the parents to come in. I don't want them to all crowd in and have eight people standing outside one classroom door. So I'm hoping that I'm going to try to get the teachers. I meet with the teachers. I try to meet with them every Wednesday after board meetings.
They're doing kind of like when they would do report cards or whatever, to kind of get this out on the table, to not blindside.
Exactly. And I'm going to try to get the elementary teachers to schedule conferences, and if I can get it from K through 5, to try to get them to try to schedule the conferences, with that thought being, if they've got multiple people in the family, then we kind of space it out a little bit. Find out when the parents can come, and then schedule them when they're available. We can do the conferences, you know, online. We can do it through Meets. If Linda, Mrs. Mott wants to do hers conference via, you know, the Meets, she can invite them to her classroom. She can open up her classroom, and that parent can come at that certain time. So we have, I mean, that's one nice thing. They've gotten really good with technology, so we might as well use technology if we're in a situation where we can't find a time on Thursday to have that meeting, then let's do it Friday morning. And if it's got to be online or on a phone, let's do whatever we have to. We need to have those conversations with the parents.
This Friday?
No. The 19th and 18th are the days that we had. We had the 18th set for conferences. The 19th, my plan right now is that we would use that for conferences as well. I haven't not spoken to the teachers, and I forgot to put it on the agenda to approve, so we may need
Monday,
to do that next month.
It's going to be this Monday.
Tuesday we start. We go Tuesday through Friday, and then the following week we go Monday through Thursday at noon. Then we send the kids home. We start conferences, and we go till I think it's 6:30.
Okay.
And then the next day we'll do conferences till noon. So we can get 10 and a half, 11 hours of conferences in. And it's really important that we get as many parents here and we have that door open. And then if the kids are failing and the parents don't come to conferences and, you know, they don't make an effort to come to conferences, they don't even answer a dojo message or something like that that the teachers are trying, like I told the teachers, we just want to make sure we're making the effort. And then so you guys know what we're going to try to do. All right, so yeah, we start Tuesday. It's exciting. We need to get kids back. This has been, I don't know, when I went out of teaching and into administration, the worst 2 or 3 months of the year were summer because there were no kids. And this has just been a miserable year because it's nothing normal. And you see how frustrated teachers are, kids and parents, and our hands are kind of tied behind our back. All right, the good news is that we're down to 25 positive cases or less a day in Cochise County. And that may sound like still, wow, Cochise County, there's not that many people, 25 cases, still a lot. That's 150 cases, 175. So in the whole county, 175 in a week. 4 weeks ago, we were at 1,105 on the average for a week. So it's come down 90%. So nobody in the Copper Queen Hospital right now for COVID. Nobody. So things are getting better. I think we're doing this at the right time. We got lucky and hit things right. Now there's not a Super Bowl whammy or something like that that comes back to get us. It was a horrible game anyway, so nobody should have stayed together that close for that long. It was pretty much over by halftime. The second thing I have on there is the testing. We tomorrow have Azella makeup tests for 3rd through 8th graders. We had great turnout for our Azella tests for all the kids that aren't here. We had one class that had 4 kids not show up, and I think the kindergarten had 5 that didn't test and 4 that didn't show up. One came, couldn't quite make it through the test, so they left. Had a little meltdown. We're not used to being with people and away from mom that long. So, but we had really good turnout. So we have 7 or 8 testing in the computer lab tomorrow, 7 or 8 testing out here. So we have 15 or 16 kids between 3rd grade and 8th grade left to test. That's it. So we were very lucky. Most of them, you know, came. I will have to say, just speaking from in there, the kids worked and took their time. I can't say that they all passed it. I don't know. I know it was very difficult for some of the kids. They expressed that they just haven't done enough with English this year. And that's, I think, part of the part that we don't all understand or see, is that they get their English from us 9, 8, 7 hours a day, however long they're here, depending upon which kid, and if they're in sports and all that. And when they're not here, those kids that go home to Spanish only, it's a more difficult thing. So, you know,
are
that's
all
just,
the eighth graders supposed to do the ELL test?
No, only the ones that haven't, that are in the ELL. So there, we already have some that have tested out of the ELL programs. We only had, I want to say, 13 or 14 eighth graders in the that had to take the ELL test.
Was mine supposed to take it?
I don't think so, unless you got a phone call. I don't believe Enrique did. No, I think
the parents have to take some responsibility.
So it was, I mean, you know, good turnout. We'll see how we did. We got good news that they canceled the Azella SAFT test, which is a field test, which would have been 2 more weeks of testing. So we get the makeups done now, and we have 3 weeks off spring break before we have to do any more testing.
Yay!
So, you know, spring break is not the most opportune time now that we're finally getting back to school, but...
they don't want to stay for spring break.
Yeah, I know. I threw that at a couple of teachers. I said, well, maybe what we should do is take spring break the first week of February or the last week of January. But, you know, some people already have ideas, plans, and tickets. I don't know. So. Number four, the process of submitting 3 separate grants. We're submitting 3 grants to the SFP board right now. Donna worked over the weekend to try to get those finalized so they're ready to submit. We're still getting a couple of prices in, but the 3 grants that we're working on are new HVAC air and furnace for the gym that's shot. The people have told us it'll cost more to repair than it will be to replace. So we should be able to, under SFP rules, to get that done for free. The hot water heater down in the gym is one of those automatic electric heaters, very small. It does the hot water. Well, we don't have, just to make the long story short, no hot water down there, no hot water in the office area. So when we have to wash our hands and everything else besides of everything else, the COVID and sanitation and whatever, and then there's a little mini one in the front office. So we're going to put in for replacing all 3 of them and see if we can't get them all approved. And if we can, great. If we can't, we can always use ESSER II money if we have to, but both Don and I don't want to use any of the ESSER II money for that. We want to use it for something else. So we want to save that because we have 2 years to use it, because there's probably going to be some lean times coming from the state. We're carefully watching, you know, parts of the recovery and the budget, trying to see where it's going to affect us. This bill that they're working on right now, that could be out in the next, you know, 30 days or so. We'll see how much money's in there for schools and what we can use it for. What we did get in the last go-around with ESSER II money, if our figures are correct and what they told us is correct, and I say if because last time, you know, Governor Ducey told us the stabilization grant was going to protect us and we weren't going to come up short, you know, well, we lost some money on that. We lost about, what was it, about 30, wasn't it? About 30,000. So, I mean, that's not the end of the world, but anyway. We are thinking we're going to get close to $300,000 if everything works out right with this ESSER II money, which would be very helpful. And then there are some strings, but a lot less strings attached to this ESSER money on how we can spend it. So it does not have to just be for PPE and those kind of things. It can be for, you know, anything with schools, anything with ventilation, anything with cleaning and education and distance learning and all that kind of, there's a lot of things we can spend it on, so... we'll be able to spend that money. School calendar options. Tomorrow I'm going to meet with the staff. I have 4 different options ready for them. Just so you know, we're going to start that process. And today I found out exactly what day, which was the day I had already put on the calendar for the Cochise County teacher workshop, professional development that Jackie Clay does. I'm going to get to that one that you got right there in a second.
We don't have the calendar.
No, I didn't give you the 4 until I thought I'll take it to the teachers. I'll bring the 2 back that they like, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay. The second thing is what Brisa was looking at, that beautiful colored schedule that no one else has seen. First one that Don has right there is the one we went to. It's just green and yellow and got some dark blue on it, and then the really colorful one there that's front and back. That's the one I'm working with and I'm working off of to have some different options for us. This is something similar to what I did when I was in South Dakota, and what we did was we took Mondays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we had slightly different classes. And then if you turn it over, you'll see Fridays. And what we used on Fridays, and what I like to do here if I can get the approval of the state, is turn around and turn Fridays into intervention days and accelerated class days. So we don't just have normal regular class. Either we have kids in accelerated learning or interventions. And so we're helping them catch up, or we're taking those kids that are a little above and we're pushing them to go higher. And if we take a half a day and we do that, I think our test scores are going to show that it's going to work out better.
What's intervention?
Intervention is like if you're not very good with multiplication, we're going to sit down and we're going to work on multiplication in small groups, and we'll get kids that are working at your level and they need to catch up. Okay, and then the accelerated is just trying to find some more difficult, more creative thinking activities to get them going on. Challenge them. Yep. So anyway, I do have another one that I'm working on, and some of the things that we're looking, I would say that this is thinking out of the box. This is looking at, do we just have a 6-7-8 schedule? Do we look at a 5-6-7-8 schedule part of the day and contain the fifth grade another? Do we, you know, what's the best for our kids? What's the best for the staff that we have? How do we make everything work and fit? So I want to look at everything. I don't know how that discussion is going to go tomorrow when I talk with the staff, but I know there'll be some people that'll be excited. I know there'll be a couple people that'll be apprehensive, but that's okay. I think we have to have conversations if we're ever going to make ourselves better. We're finishing up the evaluations for teachers. Next month and a half, we'll be bringing the recommendations as far as what we would recommend for the staff. We'll see if we have any more. Teachers that decide that they're not going to be here, and we'll work from there. Had the position posted for a month for the English that we don't officially have a resignation for yet, because Mr. Page told me to post it if it was just to see what was out there, because it doesn't sound like he'll be coming back. And I have had one person that's sent me information, and that is another teacher that's interested in coming over from the Philippines. That's all I've heard so far. So I do have it posted there. I am posting it at the colleges, the three U of A, ASU, and Grant GCU. Okay. So we'll see if we get any. I'd like to get a younger person. I mean, if we could. I mean, I don't care age-wise. But I'd like to get someone that's come through a four-year program and not taken a shortcut, not that there's anything wrong with Arizona South, but not come through that program, but actually done a full teaching program. I think there are some holes in what we've gotten through the Arizona South, and I'd like to see if we can find a full program person. But we'll see. Well, the gentleman who applied from the Philippines has been a master teacher for 10 years, and he's been a teacher trainer for the last 8. So my thing is that we just depend on our English to make sure we're working on pronunciations and phonics and all those kind of things. And so, yeah, I'll definitely talk to him, but I want to try to get as many applicants as I can.
Well, I noticed that there's not, we have pronunciation, we really don't have a lot of pronunciation when the kids are learning, you know what I mean? And so
you can, especially at the lower levels, you can see, and then, you know, and then of course when that's tied over and we're pulling it into and we're trying to use it for the Azella learning, sometimes that's maybe a little bit of a negative. But I think we can overcome it. It's just, I just want to make sure that we test as many waters as we can before we get satisfied with, you know, the limit of fish we're going to take home. Baseball, softball field, okay? We've been killing the weeds. If you've looked out there, it looks like a desert, okay? We had 14 blades of grass on the whole entire field or something like that, okay? Everything else was a weed. We fixed Armando and Ramon have replaced nine broken sprinklers out there. So we've got those fixed. We're going to be watering the field tomorrow, the next 3 days. We're going to water it again on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be taking the aerator. That's a little, machine you pull and it pops the ground and pulls the plugs out. We're going to be doing that. And then the next thing will be is we're going to start planting seed and then getting about 3/8 of an inch of compost to put over the top of it. And we had talked originally about trying to get some soil and then plant it. The soil, the cost of soil is crazy. So when Armando talked with some people at the nursery, they suggested compost and putting the compost over, and besides, that compost will then protect it if there's a freeze end of February, beginning of March type thing. So we're going to do that. We're trying to do it as economically as we can, but that's something, the only reason I didn't bring it to you to approve was because it's something we should have been doing for the last however many years, and there were just so many weeds we needed to kill it. And since we could no longer water it, it was a great time to kill all the weeds. So, I think hopefully it looks like about a month and a half turnaround to get that done. So we're going to have signs up so that people don't go on the baseball and softball field in case somebody calls you and asks you. We're fixing it so it's a nice field and it'll be done right.
I'm not listening.
Okay, that's all right. You go right ahead. I'll talk loud. We're also looking into a possible school-wide reading program. One of the biggest problems we have is getting that reading level up to grade level. And so what this does, I'm going to see tomorrow and try to get a group of teachers to get together and form a committee and help me with it. But what this does is it gets the kids working with other kids at their level. Okay, now that might mean Brisa is a second grader and Mr. Almost is a seventh grader, but they're reading at the same level. They would be in the same group. How would we know that? We test at the very beginning of the year. We have all the groups and the reading levels put in, and we can put kids in groups of 10 or 11 kids, and we assign not only teachers but paras. Everybody has a reading group. And then with this program, we'll have decided what is going to happen each week in the reading groups. So if we can make this work, I think it would be very effective for our kids. It only needs to be 25 to 30 minutes long each day. It needs to happen each day. It likely would not happen on Fridays with the intervention schedule in the middle school. Okay, but this is helping kids get to their level and improve. Okay, and then the flip side of that, or the question that people ask is, well, what about if you're that seventh grader that's got to go down to first grade and read with those kids? You know what? I'm going to work my butt off because I want to get out of that group. I mean, a couple years ago it might have been cool to be the best one or the biggest one in class, but if I'm a seventh grader and I'm reading with first or second graders, I'm not too excited about that anymore.
Well, no, but it's also a good civic thing to do.
Well, it is, and we need to build that foundation for education.
Right.
And where there's no foundation, you're not going to get any breakthroughs. So we have to do something different. We have to think out of the box. So some of these things I'm throwing at you tonight probably won't happen, or maybe won't happen, but we need to start thinking this way to figure out what is the best for our kids. And
helping each other.
Yeah. Well, that's, if kids can help each other, I think that's great. 11, we're with progress reports and possible retention letters at the end of next week. No, I shouldn't say that, not next week, the week after, when we have our conferences. Thursday is our final title audit. So we will be getting an audit done by the ADE, and they'll be doing it remotely. So they'll be bouncing into our classes and watching our teachers teach, and we'll be having different meetings and different things like that, and then we'll find out how everything went. Our first title audit went, pretty good, considering. So we'll see. 13, business manager's evaluation. I'm going to put off, or would like to put off that evaluation until after we get the audit back. And the rationale for that would be, I think it's easier to see where we've made improvements. And when I say we, I mean we, because the audit is
the whole office, really. But Don and I talked about things and went through it, and since with her evaluation being tied to money, I want to make sure you have something to balance it against besides just my word.
Now, does the whole office, like Leah and Don, and they'll get audited at the same time?
Well, we get one audit. They audit everything we do at the same time. So, yeah, everybody that works in the office. But it's generally a financial and then records audit. So there are different people that do different things with different records or finances or whatever. And a lot of time with the finance part, it's not just that, but making sure that you've got the paper trail and all those kind of things. And so if you're missing one receipt or something like that, they'll always pull that one bill because I don't know how they know, but they always do. 14, I'm not sure. I think I maybe said something, but I'm not really sure how we're going to get the funding, but we are looking at the summer school. There's two options to do a summer school. I hadn't even thought of one until my superintendent meeting today. But one of the superintendents, Carl from Cochise, said, yeah, he suggested thinking about if you're short on money this year and you have money next year, thinking about doing a fast start program or a quick start program and doing that in July instead of doing a summer school program in May and June. So I don't know what's going to work. We don't know where the money's going to be. One of the things we want to see is we want to see if the state's going to, now, the state has said they're going to come up with money, but that's Governor Ducey, and then there's the legislature. And until there's a bill and it's signed and it says we're going to get it, I'm not counting on it. But I do think the summer school option gives us the opportunity to see what kids really want to pass, if there are still kids that are on that line where they're not going to pass, which ones really want to pass, and are they going to come and work, or are they going to, if they think they're going to come here for summer school and screw around and get credit, they're going to go home, wherever that home is.
We don't have time for that.
No, we don't. So we just want the kids that are serious, that really want to pass, that maybe made some mistakes or didn't, you know, whatever, earlier in the year. 15, updating contracts. When we do contracts, we will do a couple of things. We're going to get more specific on working days. Make sure that's spelled out in contracts so everybody knows how many days or what days they work. There are, you know, some people that consider themselves teachers, some people that consider themselves, you know, in different categories, and it depends on, especially if they're salaried, that really is, as Don and I have had multiple conversations, we need to make sure it's spelled out in the contract exactly when they start, when they work, when their days off are, how many days they have, all that. So we'll get that cleaned up. We'll be using the contracts that we got from Donna Candy Party. Okay, we'll be using those. Number 16, I asked Ms. Horton to work on a little form so that you could see the money that goes into the benefits, and there is the little papers that I gave you, there should be one sheet that shows you 9-month, 10-month, 12-month employees and insurance benefit costs. Okay? So, we just got done 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, getting our basic idea of what we're going to get for an increase for insurance. It will be somewhere around $1,200. Per person. Okay? And the reason I just bring this to you guys now is I want people to start focusing and understand how this all relates. Because, you know, and I was a teacher and I didn't understand this when I was young, but all of the money that we put forth into benefits and salary are all to that person. And so there's a monetary amount that's there. And I just want to make sure we understand it, because it's going to get at some point where you can't afford to continue to give everybody full coverage and to keep giving the raises, you know, because, I mean, I know like last meeting Don said, hopefully we can give all the teachers a good raise or give everybody a good raise. And I think we all want to do anything we can for everybody. I just want to make sure that we understand how expensive my stupid phone, sorry.
Well, the other thing is that it's still part of the salary, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's still part of their income, even though it's a separate number from their income.
And they don't.
And they need to understand
right.
that it's, in addition to what the salary is, this is still what we're paying for you, you know?
Well, and I did bring that up at the last meeting that I had with the staff. I just kind of, so they had an idea after Don and I just got off of that meeting. And I just wanted them to understand how much the benefit package is, because I don't think, you know, people just look at it like, well, I got health insurance, I got dental, I got, you know, and that's great. But there's no dollar amount attached to it when you start to figure out that, you know, you're over 11 between 11 and 12 grand for your benefit package, and it's going to go up $1,200.
Can they opt out of?
Well, and that's the other thing. What we can do is and I wouldn't recommend we do it this year, because we need to go out and hire 3 or 4 teachers, and I really don't want. I mean, I would really rather hire teachers and be able to say, hey, you get a full benefit package here. You don't get that at these 8 schools that you're talking to. Come down here. You know, it's an easier way for me to do it, but it is something I want to make sure that we all get, because you're going to price yourself out of what you can afford.
Like with us, I don't know how it is here, but and us federal employees, we have an open season, and it's usually around October, November, the start of the new fiscal year, pretty much. That's the time to go in there. If you want to change your insurance, change your plan, you can do it,
right.
Or you can get out of it, get out of paying insurance, right? And if it's not during that time, then you can't do it. Or if you do sign up during that time, and if you want to change later or get out of it, it's too late.
Got to wait till next
year. Got to wait till
next
time. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be something like that.
Well, I think we should look at something where you have it's like a cafeteria plan, and these are all the insurances that we offer you, and this is what you can choose, and this is how much each one costs, and this is the amount of money the board's going to give you. Right, and you know the board's going to give you $1,200. Okay, you have that $1,200. You can use it however you want to use it. You know, and then there are some schools who say, well, if they don't use it, then they can get money rolled into an IRA or whatever, that kind of thing. So everybody gets a benefit. The other thing I want to point out on that page, and I want you to look at it, because it seems like, hey, everybody gets the same insurance package. That's fair. But I want you to look at when we took and we broke down the numbers for the 9-month, 10-month, and 12-month employees and how much you're actually paying a 9-month employee, a 10-month employee, an 11-month or 12-month employee per hour. And when you break that down, there's quite a difference. The hourly 9-month, they have not seen that. I just got that done today. Donna gave me the figures and I worked it out. And so I am planning on, so they see that, so they understand, but not really probably tomorrow.
Right.
But when we go to the contract, I want them to see how much they get. So a 9-month employee, if I'm remembering, gets about $10.50 or $11 an hour in benefits. Right? Isn't that correct? And then the 10-month employee is down to 9 something. Mm-hmm. And then the 12-month employee is at like $6.47, $6.50. So I think that looking at something and figuring out, those are all things we can put into the thinking cube when we go to do a change, as we might have to do in the next couple of years. But those are all things that I think about, because I know that a lot of our 9-month employees are educated people. They had to get a degree, you know. So having a degree probably equates to a higher percentage back the other way. Okay, I get that. But I also look at when you go to, you have certain people that are hourly employees that are 9 and 10 month employees, and you have other employees that are 12 month employees, and none of those people need to have a degree. But look at the disparity.
But we also have aides that a lot of them are don't even have the dental convenience at all.
Right. Well, we have aides, we have kitchen help, we have custodians, we have bus drivers, we have people that work
different
times.
Right. Kitchen help, that's not the same thing. You know,
no. But what I'm trying to equate it to is how much they work and then what you give them for benefits. That's, I'm just, I try
there's
to.
There's a difference in educational
right.
people
from the other.
Exactly. Exactly. I just wanted you guys to see that because I think sometimes we even forget it. And I know that when I brought it up at the teacher meeting, I think there were a lot of teachers that were, people in that room that were shocked at how much benefits are.
I knew, like, when I worked in Alaska, my benefits were incredibly crazy. And then when I came down here and I got on the CPS, it was not right away from Alaska, I'll tell you that.
Well,
so every year it's
right.
become more expensive, and it's not a given thing anymore, you know.
Well, and there are plenty of schools that do not cover everything. So if we get to that point, it's not like we would be the only ones there. But it is something we need to at least have that you guys, I want you to all to understand it before we get to that point. So that's why I'm showing it to you here.
About how much are they going to be paying?
They don't pay a penny.
No, it's part of their benefit.
Everything's covered for every employee that works 30 hours or more.
But not for your family.
Not for your family.
Oh, okay. So like a nine-month employee... Now, if this gets implemented, it's going to be paying $137.
No, nope. The school right now, unless we change something, the school will pick that up. I just want you to see how much a nine-month employee, how much of a raise they get in benefits each month. That's why I put that there.
And they still won't pay anything?
Right now, unless you change something, they don't.
So
no.
Package.
That's that whole, yeah, the package. So.
Will this go with the consortium?
Well, we get our insurance through the consortium.
Yeah.
But what the school district, a lot of school districts don't necessarily give you the whole package. They give you a dollar amount and you can decide what you want. Yeah. Right now, everybody gets everything. You know,
a lot of places aren't giving people insurance at all.
Well, it's... So, I mean, I don't want to see it change if we can help it.
Right.
But, I mean, last year we had a 6.5% increase, and they told us the other day that it's going to be at least 10. So, you know, and that's $1,200. So if it's more than that, it's more than that. If it's a little bit less than that, it's a little bit less. But that's the ballpark figure. So I just wanted everybody to know that. And then, and that last one is just about the quick start because I just got done with the meeting. The other thing with that... There is a program out there for an after-school snack program, if we have anything after school that we can do, and an evening meal. And if you join the afternoon snack and the evening meal, you can get $6. And literally the afternoon snack is a little bar or whatever, you know, that's it.
$6?
Yeah, we can bring in $6. So it's something, if we have an after-school program or in the summer, you know, we are able to give more meals away. We bring more money in.
Well, do you think we're going to talk about maybe a more real summer program like it used to be that was strictly educational, more structured?
That's what that's what we're going to do.
Right.
If we do a summer school program and whatever the grades are, it'll be 16 or 20 some days. Depends on what we have for funding. And how many kids would do it, and you know how many staff we have that are interested. But it would be educational. The only thing, and down here, I envision it as teacher-led everything. At the middle school level, we're probably looking at more of a, these are the units you failed, and you need to make them up. And so we can have an individual person helping, but what?
A lot of times now it's not even educational. Like fun times.
Well, we're not going to have arts and all that. I mean, you know, they can, if there's a holiday or something like that, you know, but right now we need to get the kids back, and I think our focus has been getting that academic part. That's where we've had the hole. So, any questions?
No.
Again, a lot of this stuff is just to give you an idea, so when I start talking about it the next month or two or 3 months down the road, oh, yeah, this is that night that he wouldn't shut up so we could get out of the meeting.
I wonder if when it comes to summer school, like when Santana was here, do you remember how that went? Sometimes you had summer school, sometimes you didn't.
Yeah, but one of them was done through the Century 21 grant.
Oh, yeah.
And we had that for a few years. And then we had summer school, and for some reason I remember us doing one. That was, like you said, 16 to 20 days before school started,
right.
Where we had kids come in and then they had a break before school started, like a week or two, and then they came in for regular school.
Well, now they really do need it now.
There may be the need, if something comes up, to have a quick special meeting before the end of February. If that comes up, I'd let you guys know at least a week ahead of time. Then my question is to you, when we look at that next meeting, would our spring break is the 8th to the 12th, and in all honesty, that first week back, I was wondering if we could just wait till the 23rd to have the meeting, if that would work for everybody.
That works for me.
Okay.
March 23rd?
So March 23rd, we set that date. That should
be
I do have one question. Are parents going to have the option to stay in online school?
Parents still have the option, yes. Yep. I just put a letter together today. Actually, it's basically the same option that they had last fall. They can stay in online or they can come to a live school. They're going to have next week. And I'm still going to have a couple of days the following week. If they want them to come to school, I'm going to let them come to school. If they come to school and they're just afraid and they don't want to be here, I will let them go the opposite way and leave school. I'm not, after 2 or 3 weeks, going to have people coming in, and that'll upset the cart. Also, I don't remember if we talked about it last month, so I'm going to say what our plans are for the school is this. Ms. Mott's room can hold 12 kids. So the first 12 kids that come that day get to be in Ms. Mott's room. The 13th kid that comes will go to the online learning site. Tomorrow, the first 12 kids that come get to stay in Ms. Mott's room, and anybody extra goes to the online learning site. Our goal is, maybe we can get kids to get here on time, and work at it, but then it's not just, nope, it's the first 12 that sign up, they get the class, and everybody else is online. I want to stay away from AP days. I don't think the AP days helped us at all last time. I think they were more confusing. Kids came 2 days a week. They didn't come the rest of the time.
And they get all convoluted, I think.
They miss out on things. You get parents that want their kid on Monday, Wednesday instead of Tuesday, Thursday. So I think anybody who wants to come, our plan is we're going to bring them all in. Tombstone's doing this. It's worked out very well for them.
And keep them here.
And then our classrooms in this area will easily fit 12 kids, maybe 13. And over there, we feel we can get 14, maybe 15 in each classroom, still be 6 to 8 feet apart. Okay, so we're going to measure the rest of those rooms out. The only area we might have a problem would be the science room, Ms. Bruno, because of the tables that she uses versus desks. So we'll see exactly where we're at. The teachers will know their number, and then when the kids are coming into class, they will, if there's too many for that classroom.
And if they come in late, they're automatically going. Yeah,
well, we've already got our numbers. Right. They're going right to the learning center.
Yeah, you're right by getting it.
Once parents choose online, they're going to stick with online for the rest of the year, correct?
And they're going to be online for the remainder of the year. Yeah, we're not going to have another date where they can choose to come in. It's, right now, it'll be, you've got this little window to make your choice. So, I'm hopeful that we get at least 55 to 60% of our kids back, because we only had maybe 50% before. So I'm hopeful we get more. But I think that the AP schedule wasn't beneficial for us before, so hopefully this will work out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like to make a motion to adjourn at 6:09.
I'll second that.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.